This is War Room Moments, the show that takes you around the world to share interviews with some of the most successful and most relevant people on the planet, hear their stories, and get the most important business lessons they have learned on their road to success, and get exclusive advice on how to implement their success into your life and business. War Room Moments is brought to you by the Strategic Advisor Board. Here's your host, Jason Miller.
Well, hey, welcome to the War Room again. Today we have Martin with us today. Excited to have you on board with us today, my friend.
And pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I always love having the different perspective from across the pond. Two of my really, really good friends live over in the UK. And man, they always have a totally different perspective. They're my children's, we call them their internet grandparents. So they hop on Zoom on birthdays and all that kind of stuff. And it's a different perspective, but that's the one thing I love about the world is
absolutely
different perspectives from around the world, but I digress. Oh my gosh. So Martin, give us a little 30 second spiel about yourself and what your superpower is, so the audience knows who they're listening to.
I'm Martin Kelly. I set up Inovo Net Zero with the objective of finding and deploying profitable clean technologies. Set the company up, the group up 13 years ago. And my superpower sounds over the top a bit, but I think my greatest skill is motivating individuals to work for me for this common cause. And the proof of the pudding is that they do that for deferred fees and equity rather than getting a salaried remuneration, right? So I know they're working as part of what we're doing because they believe in it. And it's inspiring people to do that. That is, I would say it's my greatest skill.
Yeah, very cool. Well, yeah, it's always great when you can pull people together and people work towards a cause, right?
Yeah.
They work to a cause, and that cause in the end is what feeds many mouths, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
That's a cool thing.
Simon, I don't know if you follow Simon Sinek at all. He did that great short video on it's all about the why. It's not what we do or how we do it, it's about why we do it. So we're kind of highly focused. I'm highly focused on the why we do it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I don't know. I've been on a quest for the last 10 years to not focus on affecting my little bubble, right? And more affecting that, you know, maybe not the entire world, but as much of it as I can. And, you know, just try to be a force to do good that's outside of your own 15 feet, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I love what you guys are doing, because, you know, if we can educate more people on the topic itself, then we can affect change. But if people aren't pushed to change, then there's no change, right?
So, yeah.
But anyway, we can hop into that as we get going here. I always like to kick this thing off with, you know, your background. You know, did you come from a family of entrepreneurs, Martin?
No.
No?
Well, yes and no, right? My father, he worked for the government, but, and I only really thought about this and put it in this context. What he did here in the UK was he helped commission nuclear power stations, right? And he did two of the bigger ones here. And it was only really in the last 10 years or so that I realized actually that's about as big a startup as you can get, really. So,
Yeah, I'd say.
and it's funded by the government, and there aren't the usual financial risks. But so that's the nearest I've got to an entrepreneur in the family. My mother didn't do anything after meeting my father, so and my grandparents weren't entrepreneurial at all. So there's not any entrepreneurial DNA apart from what my father did. Because I swore when I left school I was going to do nothing that was related to what he was doing. So there would be no comparisons or, well, when I was your age, Martin, I'd done this and you seem to be behind me here. So, and then end up doing startups like he did, really, which is ironic.
Yeah, well, we tend to follow those paths that we
We
know,
do.
right?
We do.
The path of least resistance, I guess they say,
Yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's yeah. Well, a way opens up, doesn't it? Usually, and it's sort of kind of linked to what you're good at. So I spent the first half of my career in corporate life. Well, about a third of my career in corporate life, and hated that. It was all silos and politics and really loathed that. Then I got involved in turnarounds, and that was cool. So I found companies that where you had about 100 days to turn them around, and some you did and some you didn't. And my score is slightly more of the ones where I did than the ones that I didn't. But it was you were kind of master of your own destiny there, and that was very attractive. And then it was only after that that I turned my attention to becoming an entrepreneur around technologies. So always had a passion for technologies and worked with entrepreneurs of tech companies, small tech companies, and help commercialize them and raise capital for them. And persuaded teams of senior executives from the target industries these companies were going after to work again for motivated by a share of commission and success to work for these companies, and we raise capital for them as well at a much higher valuation. So that was cool. And then 13 years ago I set up Inovo with this huge ambition to do something that was enormous. A Google or an Amazon or that kind of scale, but also had a philanthropic dimension to it. And then it sort of gradually diverted. I moved into net zero and focused on that, on clean tech. But not just net zero, only profitable net zero. Because most of net zero is not profitable. It's a huge cost. And I feel, I don't know how many other people feel like this in the UK, but we started the Industrial Revolution, which caused all this climate change way back in the dark ages, it seems. But there wasn't a COP, one of these UN meetings, so we'll all get together and why don't we industrialize the planet because it'll improve living conditions and health and education and so on. It happened and it just exploded out of the UK because it was profitable. And if you look at the technologies, the clean technologies that have been incredibly successful, solar and wind power, they are profitable. And that's what's really fired their growth. So yeah, I set up Inovo 13 years ago, and we've been tracking some amazing technologies which we're just launching right now. We're just taking the covers off these, which are very profitable indeed, and can have a massive impact. So it's a really super exciting time for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's a super exciting time in tech, period, right? Because
Oh,
it's just
absolutely.
like, wow, it's just exploding all the time, and tech turns itself over so fast,
Well,
which
look at
is,
AI. I mean, that has
yeah,
come from nowhere.
100%.
I don't know about you, but and it's only months ago, but it seems like a long, long time. And I was just doing a standard Google search as opposed
Yeah.
to using Copilot or something.
Right.
Because, it's like having an analyst sitting beside you. Well, it's why Copilot is such a good name, isn't it? Who can just generate a tailored report, but pretty much what you're looking for, all the
Yeah.
references and everything else. Do you use
Yeah.
AI?
I mean, I don't. We do in the I personally don't. I mean, we have a whole tech department that does a lot of that in my main company, but personally, no, I don't really use it, but it is interesting the where all this technology is going with AI and all these things. And it always makes me wonder, you know, 'cause there's a reason like 90% of tech companies fail, and it isn't always funding. It's just they're too late on the draw, right?
Well, yeah, that's
And
right. And usually the guys who are very good at the tech are not so good at the commercialization and not so good at raising the capital. And you need to, which is where we come in. That is exactly what we do. We find these amazing technologies. They're like one in a million. We search through our partners, search through hundreds of thousands of technologies to find the absolute best ones, and then we pick from those. And but even the best technology companies very often are not skilled or have the resources to go out and globally commercialize at speed, because this needs to be done at speed, because we've got about 6 years, our target at 2030 to help halve global CO2 emissions. And
Yeah.
so we've got a technology that we're just launching now, which converts carbon dioxide in smoke into all sorts of animal feeds and fish feeds and so on. And the carbon dioxide generates $3,000 a ton of profit for us. Every ton of carbon dioxide in smoke we get, that's worth $3,000 to us in pure profit from selling what it is when it's converted into this animal feed. Well, that
Wow.
is revolutionary, really.
How, where do you just get smoke, though?
Out of steel factories, cement factories,
Oh,
chemical
sure.
factories, oil and
Yeah.
gas plants. And we
Okay.
just we use well, say we, the technology partners we work with, use algae, and half the oxygen we breathe comes from algae in the oceans. It's the
Yeah.
second lung of the planet. And algae's been around long before any life on Earth. So we put algae in the tanks, we bubble the smoke through bright lights and to simulate sunlight, and the algae grows at a phenomenal pace and digests the CO2 the way it does in the oceans. So you've lost the CO2. You've got all this algae biomass, which you can make into fish feed, omega-3 oil, even cosmetics now use algae products. So, yeah, we're just signing up big steel, cement, chemicals, oil and gas companies now to build these biorefineries, we call them, next door. And they are very profitable. Very profitable, about a 5 year payback on one of these. So we invest 200 million and we'll get our money back. Us and our investors will get our money back within 5 years.
That's amazing. That's a fast return, actually.
It is a very fast return.
Yeah.
And it is, it, like I say, it's, these are not our technologies. We just know how to find them and we know how to
Right.
commercialize them rapidly. That's our skill set. And we're just raising this capital now. And of course, the US is a big target market for us. So the first of
Right.
these plants will be going into the US, India, Europe. Those are the main starting points. Of course, that's where a lot
Right.
of the emissions.
Yeah. No, it's a fascinating conversation, and you start looking at, I'm not a scientist by any means, but at some point, I don't really think you need to be a scientist to know what's going on, right? I mean, some of it's just like I made this stupid video one time, and it was just a couple months ago, and I had a pair of glasses with no lenses in them, right? And I put them on and I look through them and I go, oh my God, it's actual reality. Have you seen this?
Perfect reality glasses.
Right?
You could sell them for a fortune. And it would be all about the packaging, I guess, Jason.
Yeah, probably, right? But I think with this conversation, this is sometimes just people opening their eyes a little bit and just seeing what's going on. I mean, we see it in our I live up in the mountains, and we see some of this change come through here every year, where the snow is getting less every year here.
I know that's really
And
alarming. I went to Vail skiing once, and the idea that, and the snow is getting less. That's I was talking to a guy who'd been skiing up in Whistler and in Canada, and he was saying that the lower parts of the hill were thin, which is unusual. Now that for me is one of the worrying aspects. I mean, the idea we couldn't ski anywhere would be the end of the, well, not quite
I think
the end of the
we
planet, but
can
you know what I mean.
yeah
It's
we can live without the skiing part, I think.
well, I guess so. It's a nice to have, really, rather than need to have, but
Well, and for I'll tell you, for us up here, was it 3 years ago now? I've got a ridge that runs right across me here, and it was a really, really, bad year for rain. We didn't get much rain, the snow was less, and I mean, it burned just hundreds of thousands of acres, and we watched it go right across the ridge across from our house up here, and I got to tell you, it was pretty scary seeing it
very
with
scary. I can Well, almost every month you turn on the TV and there's some other catastrophe. It's floods, it's forest fires. I mean, our PR firm's in New York, and she was saying, the sky is pink, she was saying earlier, because of the fires in Canada was actually blowing down to affect New York. So it is it and 5 6 years ago, well, this is just a hoax, and or it's just one of those natural changes in climate that happens every 2000. And what, frankly, whether it is or it isn't a natural change, it's not good news at all, really. But it's interesting that the profit side to this cuts across both sides, because in the US particularly, of course, because you've got such a huge fossil fuel industry, there's this, well, we need to carry on making fossil fuels. But this technology allows you to burn fossil fuels with no CO2, no carbon emissions. Now, that is a complete game changer
Yeah,
for
it
the oil and gas industry in the US, and coal. So we're talking to big coal producers in Wyoming, and their whole community is coming to an end. Their whole economic community is disappearing in 15 years because, they won't be allowed to mine coal. Well, now with this technology, if we can roll it out fast enough with them, be able to burn coal with no CO2, no smoke,
That'd
which
be
is
something.
awesome. Yeah.
Heck yeah, it is. It is awesome. Yeah, I mean, just I mean, you could unpack this for hours, right?
You
But
could, but that's not the purpose of the conversation.
yeah, we really could. And
So why is it called the war room?
Well, I spent 23 years in the military,
Okay.
and also, I've got 18 companies of my own, and I look at business as it's always war, right? Business is war, right? And in its own way, of course, obviously, somebody might throw a laptop at you, maybe.
Difficult to do that virtually.
Right. Right. But yeah, the war room was designed to, like, take institutional knowledge from people like you and kind of be able to distill some of those lessons out of that, which, that's the second part of this is if you could share two or three things in business that you've learned through all these years with this company, what would be a couple of great pieces of,
So
advice you would give?
here's one that is contrary to what you just said about all business is a war, right? So we believe in partnerships, agile partnerships, which are win-win. And it helps that the goal is planetary rather than industrial. So we forge really fast partnerships, agile partnerships, based on retrospective fairness. And this is not good news for lawyers, because it cuts down the amount of litigation. And America has more than its fair share, so I'm told, of lawyers and litigation.
It's true.
And the way this works, so if you and I come to a deal, right? Two businesses, we come to a deal, and we agree the terms of that partnership very, very quickly, a couple of hours, right? And then the deal with retrospective fairness is that if that deal ceases to be fair to you or to us, then we can each come back and say, Martin, this is not fair. You guys are making all this money, and we're not making as much money as you or as we'd hope to. And we renegotiate the deal, and we have independent, the ultimate layers of governance, but the ultimate stage is independent arbitration. And so we can sort out a renegotiation of the deal super fast and amicably and get on with working together. So that's certainly you're in the war room, I'm in the partnership room, which is across the corridor, I guess. So.
No, I get that completely because I have on my own pretty close to 500 strategic partners. That we work with, and
There you go.
yeah, and
Allies.
it's just
Allies, you call them in the military sense.
yeah, absolutely. But it's the same thing, I don't make heavy models with that stuff, and I still believe in a handshake for the most
Oh,
part.
absolutely.
And if you're around the right people and you're dealing with the right people, it just kind of shows itself through anyway. And well, I mean, we all know there's shysters in the world, but they're pretty easy to spot. Most of the
Most of
time.
them,
Most of them.
yes,
Not all of them, but most of
not
them.
all of them. Some of them
Some.
are clever. They're the more dangerous ones, you know.
Yeah. I always said, you take all these scammers in the world that are like scamming people with Amazon stuff or whatever, right? Imagine if they would put all that energy
I
into
know.
doing something
I've had
legit.
exactly the same thought. I mean, all that
Yeah.
talent. If you
Right?
could just, and some of the big tech companies have hired these guys, right?
Yeah,
So
right.
they hire them and then say, okay, here we are at Apple. You try cracking our code, and when they do, they're oh, better get a patch out on
Yeah.
that, So it's
Right.
yeah.
Oh
But
man,
I guess
that's
the
good.
other, the probably the most important piece of advice I would give an entrepreneur is it's a need for grit, what I would call grit, which is passion and persistence. And you're going to need the passion to keep you going, and you're going to need the persistence because whoever said it's 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration was absolutely right. because you're going to fall down, right? And you're going to fall down time and time again. And it's like, the military background. It's the guy who picks himself up, herself up, and gets going again. That's the one who wins.
Fail fast.
Yep. Fail
That's
fast. Learn quickly and get up.
right. Money loves speed and speed loves money, man.
And not if you're a bank.
That's true. That's true. That's a whole nother
They are
discussion right
totally
there.
averse to speed generally, and anything that's moving fast is suspicious
Yeah,
and
that's
highly
true.
risky.
That's true. That is very true. Well, man, we definitely got some good lessons out of that conversation from a business aspect and a planetary aspect. So we got a twofer there. And how can people like reach out to you to like become a part of what you're doing?
So, our website is enovo-network.com. If you key in the words "Enovo profitable net zero," we come top of Google search
Okay,
worldwide.
cool.
And that's what we're about. Clean technologies profitably.
All right.
And we are recruiting fast right now, and we're looking for commercial partners, and we're looking for investors. So on almost every aspect of business,
Sure.
and we're recruiting. So the talent who work with us, I hate the word human resources. They're talent, right? People have talents, and so they work with us as a corporate entrepreneur, which is an we're all entrepreneurial, but we work with big corporates, big companies to get things done on a large scale. So it's a different type of entrepreneurial skill set and small technology company. So it's sort of hybrid, bringing the two together.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. Well, hey, I love to ask this closing question, and I'm curious to what your answer will be. And that is, if you could have invited anybody here from any point in time, dead or alive, doesn't matter, who would have you loved to have here today and why them?
I think probably someone like Winston Churchill, or even better, Henry Ford. Henry Ford. I was looking at if you look at the Wikipedia, if you look at the Wikipedia page on Henry Ford, right? There's a photograph of him, right? And you only have to look into his eyes in that photograph to know that here is someone who is a mover and shaker. Just one black and white photograph, but the eyes, if you look on Henry Ford in his eyes, here's a man who is one of the greatest all-time entrepreneurs.
Yeah, for sure. I actually talked to his grandson last year, one of his
Really?
grandsons last year.
Okay. All right.
And
Oh,
it
cool.
was an interesting conversation. I mean, they're all not really involved in the business itself at this point,
No.
but it was an interesting conversation of kind of getting some of the inside things and so on and so forth. And I mean, what an amazing human. Right,
I
who
know.
let nothing get in the way. He came over
That's
here
right.
as an immigrant, right?
Absolutely.
Had like probably a dollar in his pocket. And look what it just goes to show what you can create with nothing, right? If
Absolutely.
you got the drive to get something done, and
And you can get others to follow you and join
right.
you, that
Absolutely.
then you can move the world.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you're definitely moving the world, my friend. Keep on a pushing and a chugging and moving forward with things. I always like
Yeah,
to
looking for the
say,
profit in net zero.
yeah, well, hey, that's whoever hears that.
Well, yeah, there's McKinsey did a report just recently about the surging opportunities in net zero, as in
Yeah.
profitable opportunities. So
Right.
yeah, it's cool.
That is pretty cool. Well, hey, brother, thank you for, taking the time to be here. I always say we all have the same 168 hours a week. And
Yeah, tell me about it. Yes. Yeah.
thanks for stopping by for 34 here with me.
Thanks a lot for having me on the show. And if there's any way I can get a recording, a copy of the recording, that would be great as well.
Absolutely. For sure. Cheers, my
Okay,
friend.
Jason. Take care. Bye now.
Thanks for listening to War Room Moments with your host, Jason Miller. Please leave your feedback and visit strategicadvisorboard.com to get the latest and greatest business advisement on the planet. Follow us on social media for updates, and we'll see you on the next episode.